Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special segment of Los Fanboys, or the LRM Online Podcast Network. Today, we are here with another Dark Web cast member. Today, we have Lana McKissick. Hello, Lana. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. And in case you haven't heard, she's also been on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, in the past. So you can check out those long conversations with her. And I believe Eric was on that, correct, as well?
He certainly was
on there. That is for sure. That is one way of saying it. Just to get started on things, you know, you obviously, you're on Dark Web, as I said now. You play the character of Sam. Let's just start with the basics. Tell us a bit about Sam.
Sam is a relatively self-obsessed social media influencer who comes into reignites her contact with her ex-boyfriend and high school friends when she gets some troubling emails from her other high school friend, Molly, and they all together go on an adventure to find Molly, and Sam becomes maybe a little less self-absorbed, if only a little.
So I know that you have, in the past, had a YouTube account. So how much of your personal experience did you bring to this character who, as you mentioned, is self-obsessed? Not that you are, mind you, but that you had a YouTube presence.
And, I don't know. Sounds like you're saying I'm self-obsessed. I have a YouTube channel. I have not been active on it for the last few years, but it's still up there technically. I would say I don't really relate to Sam in the way of, I mean, Sam's like hugely popular and, is constantly posting about her life. And that was never really what I did. I posted sketch comedy and some songs and musical parodies. And I didn't do a ton of vlogging. I did some, but kind of tried to keep it away from my actual personal life and more on just, you know, fun comedic content. So in that way, I don't really think we're that very similar. I would say, you know, there is a degree of vanity that goes along with any social media profile. So, you know, Instagram and all that, where you're posting pictures of yourself and your accomplishments in that way. You know, I do that. So I guess, I can relate to her in that way, but, I try not to get too, too into that. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Was there, let's see here. I was about to say, were there any experience on the YouTube side of things that you were able to, as far as your overall experience that you're able to pull into that character, be it her own experience or her own perception of the web at all, or was it all pretty disconnected in that sense?
I never really had any crazy experiences a la Sam, but I definitely, you know, in the beginning of the first episode where Sam's introduced, which is episode 2, she's scrolling through comments and, you know, people are saying a mixture of positive and negative things, but, you know, the negative things are kind of nasty. And I did have somebody say to me once, and this is so ridiculous, but I think it was like a cover of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Like, I was literally just sitting in my bedroom singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and somebody had written, "I wish you had died instead of Heath Ledger."
What the hell?
Like, it was so bizarre. It was like right after Heath Ledger died, but also like, it's a terrible thing to say, but also like, what? Like, it was such a random, like, I don't know Heath Ledger. My video had nothing to do with Heath Ledger. I think it was just a troll, like, writing mean things. But I remember being like really like weirded out by that.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez. I mean, it's kind of good. Like, it sounds like that's probably a comment he just pasted in a bunch of videos, you know, all around the web just because he thought it was funny or
whatever. Totally. I'm sure that's the case. But of course, at the time, I was like, why is he saying this to me? What did I do?
Right. So, I mean, how did you get into acting to begin with? How long does this journey go back? Because I, you know, obviously going to some research and stuff, I've, you know, quite a long time since, you know, 1994 or so.
I'm from Los Angeles, and when you're a kid who grows up here, it's kind of part of the deal where you at least try out acting because it's so accessible. So I actually did my first commercial. I believe I was like 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I was doing a lot of commercials up until I was 10 years old. I mean, I had actually done a couple of guest star roles on sitcoms, but my first like major role was in a movie called Four Rooms, and that was in 94. And that was with there was a Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez, Alison Anders, Alexander Rockwell, like four director collaborative film about New Year's Eve at a hotel that's modeled after the Chateau Marmont in Los Angeles. And I was a little kid, and Antonio Banderas was my father, and Tamela Intimido was my mother, and Tim Roth was the bellboy, and it was, quite a crazy fun experience. But yeah, I've been acting pretty much my entire life, but that
Right.
was when things sort of, got more serious, I would say.
But yeah, and when I was looking at stuff, I saw that you were in Four Rooms, that you played the character, and I was like, holy crap, because I watched that movie, a long time ago, and I remember that was my favorite segment, was the Misbehavior segment. So it kind of
Oh,
blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, that's her. She's that character. And then my mind went to other things, because even though that Robert Rodriguez segment had a very sort of cartoony feel to it. It was cartoony with sort of an adult slant. And I always wonder when working with kid actors, because in it you guys were like, smoking and drinking. There was, a dead hooker in the mattress, and you have the character swearing. Like, how much are they isolating those aspects from kids, and how much are you fully aware of, like, oh yeah, this is what this is?
I mean, I remember when I first got the script, I at that time they like messengered it over, and I remember my dad was away on a business trip, so my mom and I were home when it came, and I just went to my room and I started reading it, and I was reading the whole thing out loud from the very first segment, which is Alison Anders' segment about a coven of witches who have to like have sex with someone in order to bring back this other witch. It's like very adult. And I remember like reading everything out loud, and my dad came home and was like, "What is going on?" He just heard me like cursing, and I was like, "Oh no, I'm just reading this script for that movie." And he was like, "Well, you can't do this." And I was like, "No, but my segment's not like that." So he read, and he was like, "Okay, I guess." Because ours is, I would say, the most tame in that sense. I mean, there's no sexual stuff. I mean, there is a deceased prostitute in the mattress, but you don't see any sex or anything like that. So he was like, "Okay, I guess." Apart from that, they didn't really. I mean, it was all pretend. We didn't really smoke cigarettes. I was drinking like Martinelli's apple cider, I believe. And I watched the prostitute in the bed was actually Robert Rodriguez's sister, one of his sisters, and I watched her in makeup for like 6 hours or something. So it wasn't really scary. It was just kind of like, this is pretend, and we're doing a little skit, but it's just with more money. And so yeah, it never really felt like I was sheltered from anything, but also none of it felt real. So I never like there was never any confusion about like, oh, we're doing seedy things. This is just, we're in an adult world, but it's not real.
Well, that's really cool, because, like I said, love that segment. You were great in it. Everyone was great in it. It was just so awesome
Thanks.
and fun and cartoony, and I think
Yeah.
the standout of that particular film. So, good stuff.
Well, thank you. It was an absolute joy to film and one of my favorite memories of life.
So, this fast-forwarding quite a bit. You have quite the filmography here under your belt, and eventually, someday, you get to Dark Web. How did Dark Web first come about for you?
I did an independent film called Love Arcadia, and the first AD on that film was Roxy Shee, and she, I'm assuming, although I've never actually asked her, but I think she put my name in to come in and read for Dark Web because she directed all of the A stories and one of the anthology episodes as well. And so I just came in and auditioned, and then I actually auditioned for a different character, and then they had me come back at the callback as Sam. So I did that, and then found out I got it, I think like the next day or so, and then we met up and had coffee, and then we were shooting pretty much immediately after that. So it was,
oh wow.
Yeah.
Did you have access to all of the scripts right away, or were you able to read the entire thing, or was it kind of a read as you go, as you, you know, get to the shooting?
We did a table read before we started shooting, so we did have all of the episodes of the A story. We didn't actually get any of the anthology episodes. Roxy did send Brian Ellerding and I the script for Eat, Pray, Love. Mm-hmm. Which was because it affected, you know, our plot.
Right.
She said, this is what, she gave it to us right before we shot the scene that happens after we read it. So she's like, this is the reason why you're having this violent reaction, because of this story. But that's the only one we actually got to see. So once we watched all the episodes, we were like, oh my god, this is so dark and crazy. We really had no idea, because the A plot is just like so different from all the anthology episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those who don't know, by the way, if you don't know, we're gonna probably spoil some stuff in a bit, so just keep that in mind. But you should probably go check out Dark Web on Amazon Prime Video right now. You can watch all the episodes on there, and then come back, you can listen to this. But
yeah, pause this. Mm-hmm. Watch all of them. And yep. Then unpause.
Watch all of them and then rate it on Amazon. And then
rate it, yes. And then you probably have to pee as well, so make sure you do that.
Or you can hold it. It's up to you.
Or hold. Yeah, if you're a champion, you would hold it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah. So where did we leave off? I was about to dive into something I forgot because I had to plug it.
You were about to give a spoiler. Oh, I think you were explaining maybe the difference between the anthologies and the
Oh, right. Main story. So, I mean, basically, yeah, you said the A story, it's basically a serialized, you know, a standard serialized TV series. And then within it, they're each given a story from one of the characters, Molly, and they read it. And then you kind of dive into a little mini Black Mirror / Twilight Zone-esque little tale within that oftentimes relates to what's going on now, or relates to what the character is feeling. Like yours, for example, in the episode you were introduced, revolved around social media and, you know, being popular and sort of the negative ramifications of that. So, and yes, considering your character, it was very fitting. So those types of things is exactly what this story is about. So yeah, if you don't know what that is, that's what that is. So it's a very nice and fun, unique way of tackling it. So what attracted you to the project personally to hop on board?
I mean, it's unlike anything else I've ever seen. Just reading it, I was like, what is this? What's going on? Black Mirror didn't exist when I auditioned and when we started shooting. So I was like, what are these stories they're trying to explain vaguely without telling us exactly? Actually, I don't think the stories had been written. That's why they hadn't given them to us, because I think the anthology episodes were written like right up when we started shooting. So, but the A plot, it was just like, oh, this is like very sci-fi, a warning about modern technology. And, you know, I just hadn't really seen anything like that before. Also, it was, of course, a pleasure to work with Roxy again. She was an amazing assistant director, and then on Dark Web, an amazing director. And it just seemed, you know, like a really cool project to be part of. I also watched Circle. I typically, when I'm getting close to booking a role, will be like, okay, what's all the information I have about all the people involved, and just to see what else they've worked on. So I watched Circle and I thought, oh my gosh, this is very cool and so smart in terms of the, not just the plot, but also the use of one set basically for the entire movie. And I just thought, these people know what they're doing. 'Cause you never know, you know, I've auditioned for things that I was like, what is this? What is this going to be? Mm-hmm. And again, this was sort of like that, in that I didn't know what to expect, but seeing their prior works, having worked with Roxy, I just felt like, oh, this is going to be something cool. I don't know what it will be, but it's going to be awesome.
So the story takes your character's journey on to find their friend Molly, and ultimately, again, spoiler alert, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you find out that she's not only dead, but she has trained an AI to sort of start thinking and start becoming self-aware, and has also taken on the voice and overall look of Molly herself. And you guys are left with the decision to whether or not to just sort of leave it and to let the government come in and sort of have their way with it, or to release it for, to help make the world a better place, as it were. A, I was surprised at how slightly cynical the story ultimately ended up being because of how horrible the world they seemed to think it was, and how much they needed this AI in order to make it better, which I was surprised about. So A, do you agree with that? And B, would you have actually personally released the AI onto the world as these characters did?
I think that there are definitely parts of the world that are terrible, things that human beings are doing to each other that are awful. I think the world also has some wonderful parts. I do not personally believe that I would have released Mir onto the world because we didn't really, the characters in the on the show didn't really know what it was. It was just like a, well, Molly believed in it, so we have to do this to honor her memory. I don't think, I'm a pretty logical, methodical person. It's not in my personality type to be like, well, it's what Molly would have wanted. Let's just send it out. We have no idea what the ramifications are, what this even is, but you know, she's smart and she knew, so let's just do it. Which is, you know, obviously an abbreviated version of the thought process those characters had. But I personally know I wouldn't unleash Pandora's box onto the world without really knowing what it was, first.
So what do you think? And obviously you don't know anything at this point. If you guys want a season two, you definitely should check it out. And once again, rate it. But what do you think, with that in mind, the characters have in store for them for season two, if there is one?
Oh man,
Or
I
would
mean
you like to see even?
I would hope that we'd get to see the aftermath of unleashing Mir onto the world. I think it would be cool to see, you know, the positives, the negatives. I would imagine there'd be a lot of negatives just because, you know, you've now got an AI who has access to the world, basically. Yeah, I think it'd be, I think chaos. I think absolute chaos is what would happen if there were a season two. And hopefully there'd be a lot of flashbacks as well so that Noemi could come back and we'd see more of Molly. Because, you know, she's such an integral part of the first season. It would be sad if we didn't get to see her anymore.
Right. I guess she would probably be back in the form of Mir,
That's
at some
true.
point. But having that physical presence would probably be helpful as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so actually, most important question I think here. So I saw on your Twitter account that you just watched Top Gun recently. A, what kept you from Top Gun? And B, did it hold up?
Okay, I don't really know why, but I've just missed a large chunk of popular culture and movies, TV shows. Like, I've never seen a full episode of Saved by the Bell. I've never seen Goonies. Like, I don't know why I missed a lot of things, but I did because every time I go, oh, yeah, I'm not really familiar with that, people are like, what? Like, there's a whole list of things that people cannot believe I haven't seen. So there's no reason I didn't avoid Top Gun. The reason I watched it recently is that we went to see a parody of Top Gun that's in LA. It's called Tom Gun Live, and it's like a live spoof of the movie Top Gun and just of Tom Cruise as well, where they pick an audience member to play Tom Cruise and they just have someone holding cue cards to tell that person what to say, and then all the rest of the cast, is in on it. So I was like, well, this show is going to make absolutely no sense to me if I haven't watched what it's based on. So I decided to watch it, and actually I absolutely loved it. I didn't think it would be for me because I'm not super into like violent stuff. I mean, it ended up not being violent, but I was like, I don't know what this is about. Is this just going to be a bunch of people shooting each other? Which it wasn't. But no, I thought it was great. I will say, I mean, it's too late to give spoilers, right? It's been enough time.
It's
Okay,
over,
great.
yeah.
So when Goose died, I thought everyone's being kind of way harsh on Maverick. Like, he just died, and then Tom Cruise is like in the hospital and the like looking in the mirror, and someone walks in and is like, look, Goose is dead. You got to move on. You got to get back. It's going to happen a lot. You got to get back up there. And I'm like, what? And then he's up in the air and obviously having some PTSD. And they're like, oh, keep putting him up there. He's got to get over it. And you're like, he. And they say something like, well, it's been a few days. And you go, a few days? What on earth? And then his girlfriend, I can't remember exactly what she says, but it's something to the effect of, oh, so you're leaving? You learned nothing in all your time at Top Gun. Oh, I know what you learned. You learned how to quit. You're real good at that. I was like, oh, these people have no empathy. His best friend of many years is dead in an accident that he blames himself for, that he was also injured in, and everyone's like, you gotta move on, you wuss. I just thought that was so bizarre and a little bit hilarious.
I think you just
But
got
other than
a
that,
glimpse of old school abbreviated storytelling in like films and stuff. It's like, okay, just get through the beats. Just get through it. Yeah.
yeah, I guess so.
And I bet you there are people frustrated too. It's like, oh my God, why is he being so whiny? Come on. Like let's move on. Let's get the story going.
Probably, yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of machismo in the movie and whatnot, so I imagine that's true. Some people were like, man up,
Yeah,
to which
I
I'd be
guess that
like,
was
that's
like
crazy, but
30 years ago, back when a time when people were a lot less tolerant and knowledgeable about that stuff. So
yeah,
that
back when
explains a
people weren't
lot.
allowed to have feelings and process death in a healthy way.
Yeah. My wife's a psychologist, so like that, I'm like, yeah, that was non-existent back then. I mean, it
Yeah.
was, but basically in the pop culture, definitely non-existent.
Right. Well, I'm glad things have changed in that way for the
Yeah.
better.
Yeah, me too. And I'm curious what to expect from the sequel. Which have you seen the trailer for that yet?
I haven't. I didn't think it would make sense to me, so I didn't watch it. But now I didn't even remember that there was one until you said that, so
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch it.
Check it out. Check it out.
And he's now the, it's like, right, he's like the instructor now, right? Like you
No,
said he was.
actually, that's a
Oh.
part of the story is apparently he is still flying missions, and everyone's like, dude, what's up with you, man? You like you could be, I don't know, I think is it at whatever they are, the top whatever, you could be that right now and you're not. And he's just like, I think, stuck in his place. Like that's where he wants to be for one reason or another. And I'm not sure if whether we're supposed to be happy for him or feel like, oh crap, like he's obviously still processing that death or whatever. But it looks
Yeah.
interesting. I know the big appeal for them now is that, oh, Tom Cruise really flew planes, so
Right.
there's that.
I mean, he is a very impressive actor. I the last Mission Impossible, the fact that, did you see it where he's
Oh
like
yeah. Oh yeah.
flying that is it helicopter? Yeah.
Yeah, wait,
And
you spoke with Nick on Breaking Geek Radio. Did you guys happen to talk about Mission Impossible in your conversations? I'm not sure if you remember, but if you
I don't
did,
think so.
he would have lost his shit in a good way, because he loves, like, seriously, if you talk to him, it's like Mission Impossible is the only series that's ever existed, or that, Mission Impossible Fallout is the only movie he's ever seen ever, because he talks nonstop about that movie.
Oh man, now I feel bad that I didn't bring it up, but no, I don't think we did talk about that. I mean, it's possible, but
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But I did think it was crazy. Like I read that he was manning like eight drones while he operated that helicopter, and I just thought, what on earth? I love that. I love that he, just dives into every role and is like, I'm going to learn a new skill and I'm going to really do it. And I think that's super cool.
It is interesting because it's almost transformed, because early on in his career, you really feel like he was really working his acting chops. But then as it went on, it's like, okay, well, let's actually take advantage of the fact that, I'm doing these things and actually learn these things and just grow in different ways rather than just acting. Not that he's a bad actor. He's fantastic. But,
yeah,
just the different muscles.
Yeah, I would imagine after decades of being at the top of, his career, he's probably itching to just learn new skills all the time and make new experiences. Because I would imagine even being a movie star gets boring after a while.
Yeah, that's where you're used to, of course. Can imagine. So Tom Cruise aside, any last things that you would like anyone to know about your experience on Dark Web or just anything in general about your upcoming projects and things you got coming down the pipe?
Well, regarding Dark Web, I would say if you haven't watched it, well, we've just spoiled the whole thing for you, but hopefully you will still watch it, because I think it's very special. I think the fact that it was independently financed and, that it was a 3-year process from, and that's not even from the writing. I don't know how far in advance they wrote it, but it was 3 years ago that we shot it. And, the fact that, it now has been given this life and that we got to go to Comic-Con to present it, and the fact that, it's on Amazon Prime, like these are all very exciting things and not normal for something that started out as, a smaller project. I think it looks incredible. I don't think you would ever have any idea that the budget was as small as it was. I'm very proud to be part of it. The whole team is amazing. All of the cast and the, oh, there goes my dog.
Oh, there's a mailman.
The cast was amazing. Like, we really bonded and became a little family, and everyone on the crew was amazing. And all the producers, the writers, the directors, everybody was so wonderful to work with. We'd love to have the chance to do a second season. So yeah, if you can rate it and review it and tell other people to watch it, that would be enormously helpful. Regarding other things I have coming up, I am in a movie called Countdown, which is a horror thriller that will be out in theaters next month, around Halloween. And I've got a Christmas movie called A Christmas Movie Christmas that will be out on your televisions around Christmas time. I don't even know what network it will be on yet, but we shot it and it's awesome and I'm excited for it to come out, and I will post on my social media all the details when I have them.
And where can people find your social media?
My social media on all platforms is at Lana McKissick. That's LanaMckissick.
There you go. Well, thank you once again for all the time that you gave us today. Really appreciate it. I know you're very busy. Yeah.
Thank you, Joseph. I've had a blast.
Yeah.
It's always fun talking to you guys.
Me too. And once again, everyone, be sure to visit LRMonline.com for all your latest film and TV news. And yeah, check out Dark Web Show, the Instagram for Dark Web Show. I know occasionally they have actors do Instagram takeovers there. And yeah, check out Dark Web on Amazon Prime Video. If you have Amazon Prime, you'll be able to check it out for free at no extra cost because it comes with your package. So definitely check it out. This was an indie project that was later acquired by them. So yeah, respect the talent and the fortitude that it took to get it up there. I'm demanding it. So thank you so much, everybody. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.